Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Hello, welcome to the Singita Safari Conversation. I am Charles, a wildlife specialist by professional. I am working now at Singita as a wildlife and biodiversity manager, where I engage guests and meet them and prepare them how they'll meet these majestic mountain gorillas by giving them a pre-trekking briefing, and also coordinate more activities on land restoration and reforestation here at Singita, and engage with the other partners that help us to monitor how this land restoration is going on, especially RDB and the Ellen DeGeneres campus, which is a former Karisoke Research Center of the Anifose. Here I am introducing Prosper, the chief packet of Volcanoes National Park in Rwanda. Prosper, can you tell us a bit about just you?
My name is Prosper Wingeri. I'm the chief park warden of the Volcanoes National Park for the past 18 years in this position. It's quite a special year for me, 18 years as the chief park warden, but now 25 years based at Volcanoes National Park. I served in different positions as the researcher with the Anifose Foundation. I moved to the park management in 2003 after 3 years of working with the research and supporting the FOSSE fund. And then I moved to the park authority to continue the coordination of research, monitoring, but also important at that time, the planning, because this time the park management was introducing new department. We were assigned to prepare a management plan. New programs included, of course, the research and monitoring, as well as the community partnership. It was a very, very long time ago. I'm still here.
That's a great experience and the moment with mountain gorillas. Why are mountain gorillas a species of conservation importance? Especially, what is their role in the ecosystem and why do we need to help them to survive?
The mountain gorillas are very special, of course, charismatic species. They live only in this landscape, this ecosystem, Virunga Massif. So having them here as our closest cousins, of course, and knowing that they live here, it gives us a special responsibility to protect them for us as the custodians, but also for the entire planet, because they are only here. We have other species of animals, the trees, you know, having mountain gorillas, their uniqueness as an attraction for tourism, the importance of conservation, but also the importance of economy for the countries, but also for the communities, very, very special, because I can imagine this landscape would be different in terms of protection and conservation if we did not have the mountain gorillas to create this conservation awareness and therefore bring about the economy and the local support, the awareness. Those are many reasons that we have the mountain gorillas as the only great species where the numbers increasing. That is thanks to their importance, but also that's recognition from different partners that the mountain gorillas have to be conserved, and therefore we have done what it required for them to be protected and conserved to create this economic importance, which has contributed exactly to them increasing in numbers, contrary to, as I said, other species of great apes.
Volcanoes National Park is really well known for excellent sightings of around 26 families of mountain gorillas. Suddenly, many people may not know that these mountain gorillas are threatened. Can you talk a bit about why they are threatened?
One reason is the habitat. We have a small habitat. Even that habitat, you find many communities bordering the parks, and there's no buffer zone. The fact that we don't have a buffer zone creates such a difficult interface between the mountain gorillas and people. However, especially here in Rwanda, we have implemented programs to involve local communities to benefit and to support the conservation efforts. And it has been amazing to see their collaboration and their involvement. However, I said a small population. Now gorillas, because of the issue of the habitat, coming even out of the park to look for food, create another threat, which is the potential for disease transmission, because they are so related to us, and therefore they can get diseases of ours, such as the respiratory diseases. And therefore, the two main threats. So we are all focused on working together as government, as conservation partners, to do something about the threat. And it's exciting how we are taking that responsibility very seriously.
Normally, these mountain gorillas may not found only in Volcanoes National Park. Where else do we find these mountain gorillas? And can you also tell us about the different species of gorilla?
We have four subspecies of the mountain gorillas. Of course, we have two species, the lowland and the mountain gorillas. The range of the two species is separated by the Congo River. The western gorillas live in western Central Africa, while the eastern gorillas live in east Central Africa. So between those species, we have the different habitat and the different elevations. The lowland gorillas live more in the lowland. The mountain gorillas live in the higher altitude.
These mountain gorillas you mentioned, they are living just surrounded by community and different activities. What are some of the challenges you face when it comes to protecting these species? What project are you currently working on for gorillas in Rwanda?
Mountain gorillas, particularly here in Rwanda, but also in this landscape of the greater Virunga, including the Virunga Massif and Bwindi. Of course, we have a high human density around the protected areas. I said that, unfortunately, we don't have a managed buffer zone, and therefore the interactions, the pressures from the communities are there, they are high. And on the other side, we have even pressures from the park, which means that animals, including gorillas, buffaloes, elephants, monkeys, they do come out of the park and they cause conflict with the communities. We have a broader community partnership, of course, in any conservation area. Education is very important. Having communities, most importantly, young people educated about the importance of the park, and having them grow up understanding their responsibility and have this appreciation. However, having had it as a personal interest, I see the awareness with the adult more different than just telling them why gorillas in the park is very, very important. So we have them as partners involved in some programs management, such as human wildlife conflict. And they formed cooperatives to partner with the park in the aspect of law enforcement and managing human wildlife conflict management, as I said, cleaning the park. So while the kids are at school, the education, the awareness, it's more of getting to see them often at school in different sessions to tell them about the park, the biodiversity, what importance the park has. For the community's partners, it's more of the benefit. What do they benefit from the park? We have the tourism revenue sharing here at Volcanoes National Park. 10% of the tourism revenues is shared by the government to communities living near the parks. And the communities and the governance structure, they can decide, or if I may say, we discuss and decide which project can bring solution to the communities, for example, water, health, housing, and how, of course, by implementing the tourism revenue sharing, we reduce the threat to the park. One example is that if we implement a water project or a school or a health center, the communities now have solutions, for example, for the water, or they don't need to go to kill animals because they can see the economic benefit of the park. The tourism revenue sharing has been here for the past 20 years, and the message has been very consistent that if you help us to protect, more revenues will come, and therefore more projects will be implemented. And this is what we have been celebrating at the Volcanoes National Park. And again, on the issue of the lack of the buffer zone, that now we, beyond the project of the tourism revenue sharing, we have a compensation scheme for the human wildlife conflict. So communities can claim for the wildlife damage caused to the crops, and they are compensated. On top of that, Charles, of course, you know, and I know how excited you are about this project. We are now building on this trust now to think with these communities, the partners, how we can expand the park and create a buffer zone where now the message is now coming to we need to fund sustainable solutions to people, to their needs. So we need to sustainably protect these mountain gorillas. They have been increasing in numbers. Remember when we started the Charis, how many families did we have like 25 years ago?
Around 4 families.
Yeah, just say 5 families. Actually 8, because now you are talking about the tourism groups. Yeah. You know, 5 tourism groups and 3 research groups. 8 families. 25 years later, we have now 26 families. So this increase of the population have resulted into some kind of wildlife management issues. We have seen more infanticide. We have seen more aggressive interactions between groups, leading to many injuries, and are now recording more gorilla death caused by the stress, the trauma resulting from the conflict between groups. So when we talk about expanding the park, it's actually not telling people, go away. But now the project is bringing us together to where we can think the sustainability of our livelihood and the sustainability of these benefits, which is, as the communities all are aware, built on these tourism benefits. And Charles, we talked about the mountain gorilla families. How many hotels we had back then?
Yeah.
Only one hotel and very, very low class. But now Look at the tourism investment. Look at the benefits that many people... So the tourism industry and the conservation economy is very strong here. And when we are talking about investing in conservation, sustainable conservation, communities are very, very clear what they have to say about their expectations. And we have a great leadership here funding sustainable solutions to all these issues. It's not easy. But what we have to build on, Charles, here is the governance, the trust that many people have in our leadership and in our collaboration to continue to drive this success forward, because this is a very important success story of the mountain gorilla conservation and involving people in it, even the conservation economy. And therefore, We are doing this with the communities, thinking about how do we address these threats, how do we expand the community and the economic benefits, how do we invest more. And now you see communities having their own opinion what we should consider to protect buffaloes, to protect gorillas. And when you move around here, you see communities having ideas and sharing ideas and expressing their readiness to partner with us in this journey.
I am convinced that conserving these mountain gorillas is a joint effort, and you have more partners to help to conserve them. Can you tell us how Singita supports you in your work and how guests can support projects?
Singita is one of the newest investors in this area, but also a special partner with a strong experience in some solutions we want to bring here at the Volcanoes National Park, the community partnerships, engaging communities, creating engagement with the youth, conservation enterprises. And we have been discussing with Singita about the community partnership, about the human wildlife for conflict management, especially on these sustainable solutions, the park expansion. How do we partner? You know, this area around the property of Singita, I can see a future, a near future, where Singita and Volcanoes National Park, we are partnered together in conservation, in community partnership, in education. And we seem to be on a very close collaborative effort to engage the communities, but also to fundraise, because this program of the park expansion, investing in conservation, requires a collective effort, not only to sit and celebrate on the small successes that we have achieved, but now creating a platform, a conversation on how we drive this sustainability and how we have more partners to support this transformation. Reforestation, it's one project that is taking place around Singita on the land that the Singita has acquired for purchase for the park, and supporting the wildlife conservation. Creating a community enterprise, it's another component. Singita is going to be a special partner in supporting what we have been doing, but also bringing innovations in those aspects.
Ah, they're great. You are in the conservation room, one of the rooms where we meet guests for pre-trekking briefing, where you can see all information about conservation for mountain gorillas and other wildlife, where you can see there are some little library where there are some books for pets, for mammals, for community around the national parks, and where, of course, we exchange and interact with the guests, talk about mountain gorillas conservation, how their visit will be, and at large, conservation in Rwanda. What do you think the role of ecotourism in preserving gorillas in Rwanda, Uganda, and DRC?
Conservation partnership, especially the mountain gorilla conservation in this landscape, has recorded a few positive stories. One being that we have managed to protect and conserve the mountain gorilla as recognizing them as a regional species with the cross-border movements and the same threat. So having what we call the transboundary collaboration, supported by the government, actually the three governments of Rwanda, Uganda, and Congo, have a treaty implemented since 2015 to protect the mountain gorillas. And we have a collaboration secretariat based in Kigali. So we meet regularly, we plan some efforts together. Another example is the tourism guidelines. We have managed to establish conservation guidelines for the mountain gorillas, very important at the regional level. And you can see the three countries thriving together despite all the challenges, political, security, we meet together, we organize joint efforts together. Actually, Charles, did you know that now we have having a Gura census taking place in Ibuindi, and we have participants from the three countries supporting the joint exercise in one park in Ibuindi. And as we plan for the gorilla census in the Virunga Massif here in Rwanda, we will see we have the three countries working together to protect and conserve the mountain gorillas. However, we have to make sure first that all the lessons learned with the tourism, with the community engagement, shared and implemented across the three countries, and therefore creating viable political, like, neighboring environment for joint efforts to happen and succeed. On the other side, in addition to tourism, community engagement, tourism revenue, so these lesson we are sharing and we are involved in creating in Rwanda, which is how do we invest in the sustainable conservation? Perhaps to answer to your question, how even do we move beyond the traditional park rangers, conservation NGOs, small funding for uniform, for rangers, for monitoring, and we go into sustainable solutions, more of the conservation and the economic transformation, finding sustainable solutions to problems like buffer zone, transforming the livelihoods of the communities to reduce the threat. We need to recognize the role that ecotourism investment, like the one we have in Rwanda, can play. So we need more informed, committed ecotourism investors like Singita, partnering with us and showing what is possible, and therefore serve as another lesson learned for the protection and the conservation of the landscape, because the whole world is looking at us. We have to show that our joint commitment, our joint passion can bring about sustainable solutions. We are committed. We have created this foundation for the government, for the communities to trust us. And therefore, we have to come together, bring solutions to communities, sustainable solution to human wildlife conflict, because the communities do not like that animals come out and destroy their crops. Because when we have that recurrent incident, it completely destroys the otherwise great achievement we may have in other areas. And therefore, the ecotourism investment role is very, very important and much appreciated, especially here where we have seen how we can move fast. When we are talking about solutions here, the expectations from the communities, when we go to the local district or local sectors, they are excited because they know that our partnership can bring solutions they did not have yesterday.
For me, ecotourism just is vital to conserve these mountain gorillas, and as it brings more funding to more projects around the Volcanoes National Park. As Prosper mentioned, 10% goes to community around the national park. As we host guests here, by encourage them and engage them in nature walks to enjoy and connect with the surroundings of this national park, and also to engage with the community around Singita, we really record more positive action or just to sustainable tourism, how it funds just and change livelihood of community in general.
We said about the number of families we have now and the small population number for gorilla families we had like 15 years ago. So having more visitors coming to Rwanda, staying at this beautiful property like Singita Kwitonda, it means a lot for the tourism experience, but also the community involvement, because it's through the sold permits of these visitors who stay at Singita, that we have the revenues that we share with the communities for them to choose which project. And therefore, we link the park with the communities. So ecotourism, having people buying permits, it's in a way helping us to build this bridge between the park and the communities.
Conserving mountain gorillas, one of challenges he mentioned is the habitat loss. These mountain gorillas keep increasing in numbers and in families, while habitat remains as it is. So one of the alternative solutions is to expand Volcanoes National Park on Rwanda side so that they can have a large area where they can move easily by avoiding this frequent interaction, which is one of the reasons why they kill infanticides. So as Singita, by partnering with RDB to expand the gorilla habitat, we already started reforestation so far 6 years ago. We planted more than 300,000 trees, different species. We also are doing what we call reforestation and land restoration, where now we record increasing in numbers of species occupying the Singita property. Birds, we so far like more than 100 bird species. So far we recorded more than 9 mammals, including elephants, buffaloes. They come regularly visiting this property. And also more frogs, amphibians, and which are really good indicators for a healthy environment. There is such a great need in Africa, and resources are often limited. What do you measure as success, and where is there hope for the future?
It's always about the community involvement, not just to say the things like we used to say, like small employment, but the active role that communities play. And I can say even the direct role, because in many parts of Africa, you see there's no physical demarcation between people and wildlife. We are living together, so the communities, whether we like it or not, they are already with animals and they are the direct partners. And therefore, we have to demonstrate that involvement, come out clearly, and always have it as an indicator of our success. The other thing is, of course, how the park, through tourism, through this innovative conservation investment, bring about solutions. And I said about, you know, human wildlife conflict management, reducing the direct poaching of some species. For every conservation area, it should at least show how communities are involved and how conservation solutions are bringing about a change in numbers. I mean, how many kilometers are fenced, how many animals, direct killing or snares, have been eradicated. Because otherwise, you can have an impression that in some areas, there's much which is said about threat and less that is done to address the real challenge.
Prosper, before we close, can you tell us one of the greatest memories with gorillas?
My opinion has always been one story of meeting the gorillas for the first time, because otherwise every time I go back, there's always another story. But I think the story which is significant and appealing to the viewers and many people who have seen the gorillas and those who have not seen them yet, it's the experience of meeting the gorillas for the first time. It's so special. And for me, I remember 25 years ago meeting a gorilla family that had more than 2 silverbacks. I was not allowed to go to see the dominant male until I was allowed by the bachelor, the subordinate silverback. And because I was that time a researcher, so there was no hurry for me. I spent 4 hours with them. I had enough time to seek permission from the subordinate man, and he was serious. He had his way of introducing me to the gorillas, to appreciate their behavior, how peaceful they are, how calm they are. But I think what was even more special is that he made sure that before going to see the boss, he introduced me to his girlfriend. And so I went on like from one gorilla, two gorillas, and then standing in front of 20 gorillas. And for me, that's always the way I see the gorillas. I see the experience. We don't rush. We appreciate nature and we expect for surprises, because gorillas give us surprises, because who would expect to see gorillas and then you see a gorilla, you see his girlfriend, or you see a female with a newborn baby, and you see how the babies, the silverbacks, the young ones, the juveniles interact as a family. As you go, you enjoy that experience, and you go back, you come to learn about the threat, you come back with a sense of responsibility to contribute to their conservation. Having shared my experience, and I know you are in this park before me, and I even know that you participated in habituating some gorilla families. I mean, can you share with me and with the viewers your experience of the habituation of the mountain gorillas?
Before that, I share just how the experience with the habituation of these mountain gorillas. I can tell you that my, you know, memory, the first is like yours, the first day of meeting these mountain gorillas. It was in 1985, so far around 40 years ago. It was in a family called 11. And just as we entered the national park, always each corner, you know, the national park always is, there are bushes, made of bamboos mostly. Each corner, I was so curious to meet, to see something. So rangers tracked, and the first time when they saw their trace where they passed, I saw some footprint. By that time, to me, I thought it's a person. We are tracking a person. Because I saw the leg, it was, the foot is like mine. So we followed slowly, slowly. And when we appeared where they were in the bush, I saw a giant man, I can say, with big head. So when I heard the rangers doing a vocalization, like, exactly. So that male replied, like, yes. So I was so excited, and the female was around, and they told me that the male was called Ndume, the silverback Ndume, the chief of 11 family, and the wife was Muzazi.
Ndume means biting.
Yeah, Ndume is like a bite. Meaning that always when you check on names of gorillas before these days, where we focus on the future and our goals for conservation, mostly when you check names before, they used to give names based on a situation in which they met or where they found these gorillas, or like Susa family. It found first near Susa River.
Do you know the name of the gorilla I met for the first time?
Uh-huh.
It was in Tambara. Tambara means war. That's what he has said. The names of that time were all reflecting conflict and tragedy.
Exactly.
But look at the names of today. It's Quitonda. It's Kataza. It's hope.
It's vision.
It's partnership, collaboration.
Exactly.
Even last time when we went to visit the gorillas for the first time, even, which was the same for you, you are not thinking about the gorilla experience, even the sustainable conservation. You are thinking, I mean, why this gorilla is called in Tambara, which, I mean, war. Why bite? But we have really to celebrate what our pioneers have done.
Exactly.
But also, between me and you, our small contribution has been so significant.
Coming back to your question, the experience with gorilla habituation, is another story. It's not like visiting habituated gorillas. It's really going where you for these feelings of how the first contact with this wild gorilla, as we call, wild family, not knowing people, not tolerate human presence around them, how it will be. So it take courage, me and my colleagues, we entered the forest to go to trek the first this family. We were wondering how our first contact will be. Exactly, it happened. Because everyone, we are fearing, of course, knowing that gorillas charge, you know, the first thing it's to be charged. What will happen later? But what is different with the habituated families? When you track this uninhabited family, you see their trace, then you follow. You whether you vocalize or not, the silverback will give a command to other members, hearing that you are near them, so they run away and he ambush. He wait for you in bush without knowing where he is. And I can call is an attack because just it's really terrible. The first contact with these white gorillas marked us, of course, because sometimes you receive injury, you receive a beat, a push, and always we take courage and go there. Only we mark our presence and show them that we are not a threat to them. Finally, you gain trust to them over time. So that really what I like most is the confidence of gorillas and how they cooperate after seeing that really you are not there to harm them.
But Charles, do you know what is my next story with the gorillas?
No.
Do you know where the Agasha Group 13?
Wow.
You know what used to be Group 13? Now it's called Agasha.
Yeah.
So when Agasha came in, and you know how he brought together the habituated and the unhabituated members?
Yeah.
So Agasha was habituated, but among his family, he has females who are not habituated. And every time we went, the females who are not used to people will try to run away, scream. But Agasha, the smart guy, always went to tell the females who are trying to run away, even pulling them, please come back, come back. These are good people. Yeah. They are not bad people. So when we say gorillas are our closest cousins and the trust team that they show us when we have created this encounter and trust. So it's like a lasting trust. They trust us to the point that they even go and show to other members of them that are not habituated, you know, these are good people. And we have to go to tell the communities that we have to keep doing the same. So the gorillas are good. They will continue to be good. And as long as we do the right thing, gorillas will give us the reason to take that message through, of course, benefit, as we said. So the gorillas have delivered, and now actually we have to give them back what we have taken from them, which is the habitat, but also other things like even killing them because they are in our hands, and we have to keep that promise to Agasha. He is bringing more gorillas, and we are protecting them.
Thank you for making time for us, Prosper. Thank you for the critical work you do. You can see more details on www.rdb.rw. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Singita podcast. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.